Hi. So this has been a big weekend for me.
Bigger for Abby.
As soon as this service is over, I'll be going back to the hospital to pick her up and then coming home for the first time. And it's been really, really good. When we had our first son, it was a real nuclear bomb in my life. And God really used that. And it was hard. It was really hard. And he has brought me to the point of just loving being a dad. And now for round two, it was really like a time to just be like, praise God, because he changes people's hearts. He humbled me. And it always turns out that when we go through those hard processes, it makes our lives fuller and richer and more peaceful. And I've really been experiencing that this weekend. And I'm just really thankful. And I'm really tired. And I'm not here because I don't want to be in the hospital, although I hate being in hospitals. What we're going to talk about today is just something that I just so believe in. And as Dad touched on it, and if you guys were here 2 weeks ago when we started this beginning part, I'm going to do some review as we talk about what gossip is, what the Bible says about it, what it causes, and that kind of stuff. But I feel like it's interesting because I feel like a little bit like a doctor coming up to the church or a person and all of us with like a, hey, there's a problem. We have diagnosed that, let's face it, gossip is a huge sin issue in this family and all believers. It really is. And you know, the thing that makes gossip so deceptive is that it's almost like stomach worms or intestinal worms or something that you don't necessarily see the effects of. But what it does is that it takes people who are truly trying to make a difference through obedience and all that spiritual input that we're putting in, and we're trying to, you know, output, we're trying to obey God and do what he says, but it just doesn't seem to be really happening. Somewhere along the line, the spiritual energy or like the spiritual joy is just going away. You know, it's just like we're just constantly hungry and tired no matter what we do. And I feel like gossip is one of those things that just drains the effectiveness out of the body of Christ. And that's so dangerous because this is the hardest kind of illness. And I can imagine being a doctor and going up to somebody and being like, you have a problem, and this problem is going to kill you in about 30 years or about 20 years. Well, here's the thing. There is a solution, and the solution is really hard. And if you would change now, you would grow into a much more effective, productive person. And then a lot of times as human beings, what we say is, okay, yeah, wow, I do have a problem. And changing is going to be really hard. So let's postpone that and just kind of be for a while, because the bad part clearly isn't going to be for a while. So let's just hope that something changes in the future. And so we avoid it. And the scary thing about knowing when we have a problem and not doing anything about it is that leaves us really, really open to the enemy. And I have been overwhelmed with and humbled by the amount of people in this family who have said, who have been willing to really, truly admit, you know what? I didn't think that I had that particular sickness, but I've realized over the last 2 weeks that I gossip. And I don't like it. Now we've got to talk about what to do about that. Because as I'm going to say, that's only step one. If we just stop there, all we are is a bunch of diagnosed people that are still sick. So, because this is, we have so much that we need to review, I'm going to really stick to my notes. Or if I don't stick to my notes, the whole review is going to take the whole morning. And then we're just going to have to stop at the exact same place. So I'm really going to try to go through it fast. Okay, we're talking about gossip. What is gossip? What is this thing that we say is such a big problem? Well, the world defines gossip as casual or unrestrained conversation, typically involving details about someone else who aren't necessarily confirmed as being true. It's just conversation about other people that is without restriction. It's not thoughtful. It's just kind of like we just say it without really thinking about it. Casually sharing information about other people, specifically that's not necessarily confirmed as being true. That's what the world defines gossip as. The Bible really brings it into super perspective. What does God say about this whole issue? Because this is our standard, okay? Regardless of what anyone else says, this is our standard. We have to apply it to the Word of God. What does God say? Two things. The first one's really, really obvious and scary. It's kind of scary. If what you're saying about another person is not true in any way, then you are giving false witness. You are committing perjury. You are relaying an information that is not necessarily true. And the Bible says that the punishment for being a false witness is stoning. In the U.S., we even have strong punishments for people who give false testimony in court about situations or others. This is a big deal. And we boil it down into something really simple and easy to ignore by calling them rumors. Spreading or continuing a rumor that is not confirmed to be true is sin. It's being a false witness. And it is destroying our testimony as believers, because if you're saying other lies, then why would I believe what you say? This is huge. If it's not true, if it's not confirmed to be true, it is false witness. Also, the Bible clearly says that gossip is in fact wicked. In Romans 1, it lists a list of characteristics that define a person who does not belong to God, who is lost, unsaved, wicked. And right there, smack in the middle, is the word gossip. Two away from God haters and two away from murder. The Bible speaks very specifically about the fact that gossip is, in fact, a terrible sin. Not to be ignored, not to be swept under the rug, not to be taken as something that is like a lesser problem. But moving past that, okay, yes, I think we all as believers would have a tendency to agree that you can't argue that gossip is not sin, and in fact, nobody is. Okay, here's the problem. What is gossip? Like, more specifically, okay, gossip is a problem, but like, what's gossip? How do we define gossip? Because not many of us would really set out the gossip. It just kind of happens unconstrained, accidentally. It's one of those sins of, I don't know, it just kind of happens. What does the Bible say gossip is specifically? Okay, two weeks ago, we drew our definition of gossip from Ephesians 4:29, which gives us a really clear picture of what wholesome talk is, what we should be saying. And we flip that around super easy, and we come up with two things. Gossip is communication that pulls down other people. That's the first part. Okay, it's communication, any sort of communication that causes harm or makes people weaker. It's unwholesome, the Bible says. It encourages moral apathy or sickness. It makes people weaker. It compromises their faith. It hurts them. Any communication that pulls down other people. And the second part is any communication that causes harm to the people that are physically listening to us as we say it. Now, this is the side of it that we don't necessarily take as often, and it's really interesting because science shows us very clearly that negative information, negative gossip, has an incredible effect on our brains, far more of an effect than any neutral or positive information has. It turns out that we like hearing negative news. We just like it. Solomon nailed it when he said the words of a gossip are like choice morsels. They go down to the inmost parts. It's like brain candy. And when we hear negative information about other people, it actually causes our brains to fixate, go toward, and spend more mental energy thinking about the negative in the people around us. And this is a really scary thing. Just hearing gossip, not even participating in speaking it, makes us more judgmental. It makes us way quicker to see the negative. It makes us way slower to forgive, more dismal in our outlook on the world and human nature, and less productive in friendships and relationships as a result of that. Listen, the world is dismal enough. We don't need to spend most of our communicating trying to make it more dismal. I'm messed up enough, and so are you. We don't need to go looking for things to be angry about or offended over, or areas of sin and depravity in our lives, even as believers. Praise be to God that He forgives those things, but they're still there in abundance. And when you hear gossip, it trains your mind to see the negative and like it and want more. We see that very clearly in the brain. And it turns out that just by saying it,
You are causing me to focus more on the negative of life and people. This is where we ended last week. What you say has major consequences. What you say has major consequences. Gossip is sin. And if this particular sin is you are sinning by saying it and also strongly encouraging the people who are listening to sin as well. It is very similar to smoking a joint, a marijuana joint, and then saying, here, daughter, or here, husband, or here, best friend, you smoke it too. Your brain really likes it. There doesn't seem to be any immediate problems. Dad mentioned it. This is the scary thing. And this should make us stop and really consider. For some reason, do you know that this, being the church of Jesus, this body of believers, his community of his representatives on earth, is so important? This is God's plan A for the world. And some Christian person once said, there is no plan B. This is God's thing right here. This is his vehicle, his message, his representation, his city on the hill for people to say, this is what Christ was like. And this is how the world works. Do you know that all that Jesus has done, all that God has done throughout all history, all Jesus did as the Savior of the world, him coming and living and dying for us. Sorry, my microphone's being all weird. Coming and living and dying for us. All what people think of all of that is completely dependent on your actions. The work of Christ in the world hinges totally on whether or not you are representing him effectively. And if you're not representing him effectively, then all people will see of Christ is a judgmental, exclusive, bigoted religion. What we say has serious consequences. James 3:5. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. Here we have a picture of something that is so powerful for either good or evil. And like fire, there's not necessarily a whole lot of neutral ground. It's either good or bad. You can't be like, that's a fire that I'm ambivalent about. You know, normally it's either accomplishing something good or bad. Our conversation, this is where it really comes down to when we evaluate our church. And listen, I'm right here in the middle of this. This is not some moral superiority platform. I taught this 2 weeks ago in church, and over that time, I've been constantly thinking and really evaluating, is this God? What am I about to say? And two times over the last 2 weeks, I've said something to my wife, and then I'm like, that was gossip. And I didn't try it. It just came out. This is me, too. I'm right in the middle of this. You know, when I evaluate us, and I love this church, and I am committed to it unto death, to see us be healthy, honorable believers. And yet, we have to say that, you know what, I think our conversational norm is probably defined best as thoughtless, unrestricted, sometimes uncaring, and sometimes mean. What do you think that does to our witness? The Bible says that we are supposed to be the salt. We're supposed to be the flavor of the earth, the light of the world. That's the guide to show the way to Christ. We're supposed to be the salt, which is the preserving agent to keep the world from being so stinking corrupted and to bring out the natural flavor that God has placed in humanity. That's our goal. That's our calling as believers. And if we're not doing that effectively, we had better stop and think, what am I saying? Okay, so that's all review. Nice. Okay, now we're moving on. So, once we determine as thinking individuals, once we determine there's a problem here, what does the Bible say? Don't say anything unwholesome. What are we supposed to say? What's the flip side? Let's go up now. What should we be saying? What should I talk about? Anybody feel like inclined over the last 2 weeks to be like, is this gossip? What am I thinking about? What should I be saying? Okay, well, that's really clearly, if we're not supposed to be saying unwholesome talk, then what is wholesome talk? Ephesians 4:29 lays it out. Don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth. This is what's wholesome. Only what is helpful for building others up, because that benefits those who listen. Whoa. Let that sink in for a second. It took me a couple days. This is what we should speak. Only what is helpful for building others up, and only what benefits those who listen. That is very, very exclusive. That is an incredibly hard teaching. That's a huge ask. God just said to you, don't open your mouth except for anything to come out unless it is good, unless it is wholesome, unless it encourages spiritual health and wellness. That's a big ask. And you know what we do a lot of times when we come up against something that seems insurmountable, morally speaking? We say, well, that just seems, that's impossible. Who can do that? So, we kind of like write it off or just push it to the background. But it's interesting, because if we did that in some other moral issues, we would, you know, huge red flags. So it'd be like, I know that God said to be faithful to my wife, and there's a lot of people in the world I can sleep with. I'm not going to sleep with all of them, only some. So that's like basic morality, right? This is what the Bible says, and this is the standard that he calls his believers and also enables us to achieve. Only what is helpful for building others up. You know, this is where it comes down to the practical side, is that nobody, in the end, a lot of times we don't really think that we're gossiping. It just kind of happens. It just comes out. It's just the uncontrolled or thoughtless conversation. And you know what? That gives us a really good insight into how to start to turn that corner. The most productive way to handle, to counteract, to stop gossip in the life of the believer is actually fairly a simple thing to do. And it just really comes down to this. Stop and think. Stop and think. This is fantastic. I really like this. If what you say matters so much, then isn't it worth saying, I should probably evaluate this? Is what I'm about to say right? Is what I just said right? This is straight from the Bible, Proverbs 13:3. I love this. Those who guard their lips preserve their lives, but those who speak rashly will come to ruin. Those who guard their lips, this is the counter agent to gossip. I need to guard my lips. I need to be careful, to tread carefully as to what I say. And this is how we do that. It's so obvious sometimes. This is the great thing about having the Holy Spirit. Sometimes all we have to do is ask the right question, and he reveals the answer, because that's his nature. He wants to make us better. So when we say, is what I'm about to say, does what I'm about to say fall under some of the biblical precedent for gossip? Does this fall under the biblical definition of gossip? And he reveals that to our souls, to our consciences. That's a great question to ask. And we're going to go through and look at what does the Bible say is gossip in just a second. And the other question that we have to ask, and this is the real tricky one, and this is only between you and God, and this is what makes it kind of like just putting it out there. What's my motivation? What's my motivation for saying this? You know what's the thing is that if we would ask ourselves that question, once we ask ourselves, does this the Bible talk about this? And why do I want to say it? It very often brings complete clarity as to whether or not what we're about to say is sin. Because it's really obvious once you look to see what your motivation is. Do I want to say something mean about that person because I feel hurt? Or because I want to get back? It's really easy to tell that once we ask the question. The hard thing is just asking it. You know what the great thing is? That so many of you, and including myself in this, I have identified a tendency toward gossip that I didn't necessarily notice was there before. And that is so good. Once you identify, wow, there is a strain of this in my life. I have this sickness. I need to do something about it. That is awesome. But the second part is clearly, then now you got to do something about it. There has to be action taken. You have to take action. And this is where Ephesians 4:22, which is just a couple verses before, comes to mind for me when it says, you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. There's two things that happen in that verse. The first thing is like, okay, there's a problem. I'm dirty. There's sin in my life. I've noticed that. And I want to get rid of it. And then I want to put on what's right. You don't say, my shirt is covered in blood. Let me put another shirt over top of it. That doesn't make you cleaner. The way we grow in holiness is to identify, this is an area of conflict between me and God, and I need to take that off. And then I need to counteract that by doing what's right, by obeying, by understanding. What's the opposite of gossip? So this is what I want to do. And this is the plan for getting better, for becoming healthy speakers. And this stuff is hard, and it takes a lot of self-evaluation at every point. But the benefits are just so astronomically successful in a person's life. Take off, put on. So what we're going to do is we're going to go through the same cues that the Bible gives us to point out what's gossip in a series of questions, and then we're going to say, what should I do instead? Okay? Let's go right into it. Does these things, and this is how we determine whether or not our words build other people up. Remember, because that's our definition of wholesome talk. It makes people stronger. It makes them more healthy. And unwholesome talk is it pulls them down and makes them weaker. So what does the Bible say? Ask yourself these questions. Our first one that we established 2 weeks ago is this. Are you saying this to vent a negative emotion? Am I saying this to vent a negative emotion? Because I didn't really think about it before now, but I do feel kind of hurt or kind of strongly about that person or this situation, and I just want to tell someone. I want to get somebody on my team. I want them to know that I've been hurt, because I've been hurt. Can you believe she said that to me? The lady that I work with is so terrible. She always, my sister, blah, blah, blah. And we just are there so ready to spew, to gush that feeling of sin that's inside of us, that hurt that we have, that legitimate hurt. I'm not saying that that's not there. The legitimate things that people have harmed us in, and we are so ready to just spew that out. And Proverbs 15:28 says that exactly right. The heart of the righteous weighs its answers, but the mouth of the wicked gushes evil. That goes right back to the stop and think. Because if you're just letting it all go, that's gossip. To vent a negative emotion to your wife, to your husband, to your mom. So what do we do instead? This is really profound and very interesting. Listen to the end, because it sounds kind of uber spiritual at first. What do we do instead of venting the negative emotion and therefore gossiping? You got to forgive in your heart. Forgive in your heart. Why is that? Well, part of it is this. There's a story in Matthew about this guy who had a huge, huge, huge debt. And he couldn't pay it, and it was time, it was due, and he was rightly going to be sent to jail. And the king said, you know what, I forgive you. We're good. And the guy was like overwhelmed with gratitude. And then a few days later or a few months later or whatever.